Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Oh yeah, I've got to start, haven't I? This is the Luke and Pete Show. It is Monday. It is the 28th of December. Oh, Luke, isn't it that weird spot between Christmas and New Year? Doesn't it feel weird? It's not as if the whole world has felt weird for bloody ages or nothing.
It's a weird continuation this year, isn't it? And I would also like to say that we just asked producer Nat to start the show and then you didn't do anything to the point where Nat had to come off mute on her mic and say, come on. Which is amazing.
Come on, come on. I like it.
But yeah, it's a weird time of year generally. It is, I was just saying to you, Pete, you know, there's nothing to do, is there? Let's be honest. So what I did today is I went for a long walk this morning, got back, poured myself a pint of tea. That's the level of debauchery going on in West Norwood in this perineum of the season.
Banging a bit of that chocolate flavour Baileys in it, just to give it a little bit of a kick, a little sonic.
So, as I was saying to you the other day, Peter, in a slightly different context, I'm happy to have the Baileys discussion, and I think we should have it now. My only exposure, really, to Baileys is twofold. One is that Alan Partridge orders one small Baileys for Lynn in the hotel bar when he offers to buy her a drink. And the second one is our friend and colleague over on a different show, the Football Ramble, Marcus, doesn't drink, but he did once let slip in conversation about 12 years ago that he occasionally has a Baileys. So every time we go to the pub or when we used to go out to the club, we used to try and make him drink Baileys, and we would all drink Baileys to encourage him. That's the only exposure I've had to Baileys ever. I don't think it was a thing in my household, but you have told me that it's a big Christmas affair in other households.
Well, I reckon that Marcus's record is about four shots, maybe five shots, and I know exactly where it was. We were in Barcelona. We were in a club called Kabul, and it was an interesting name for a club, to be quite honest. Especially, it was right in the middle of a couple of wars. And and I forced at least two shots down Marcus Bella's throat. And
was he drunk?
I managed a couple as well. He was merry. He was approaching merriment. And I think...
Are you drunk?
Oh, mate, I was all... I'd had several bottles of Dooleys before I even started. The unofficial version of a Baileys.
But Dooleys is that toffee one, isn't it?
Yeah, it's disgusting. It's the sort of thing you only ever see at Butlins when you're at ATP. You go, I'll have a Dooleys, please. That little kind of purple and red, blue and red bottle. Yeah, I mean, somebody made a point. In fact, it was our silent partner, John, from Stakhanov, who made the point that...
She was more silent.
He wishes you were more silent. The latte, he wishes I wasn't involved at all. It tasted like a latte with a drop of cough medicine mixed in. And I had some over Christmas and I was like, oh, that is so bang on. I can't drink Baileys anymore. He's ruined Baileys for me. Awful,
how many different flavours of Baileys can you get? Quite a few, right?
Well, there was one big bottle that arrived in the house a little while ago, but I'd already bought like a fancy bottle because that was the only one that was left. It was like a chocolate kind of liqueur-y version of Baileys, a gold version, if you will.
Right.
And I had most of a Viennetta to myself, poured a couple of glugs of Bailey on top.
We've talked about this.
Lovely old job.
You know, you're approaching 40. You can't do that.
What do you mean? Decadent.
It's probably decadent about a month's worth of cholesterol in one sitting, in one episode of EastEnders.
I reckon that Viennetta is probably one of the more low-calorie sort of ice cream snacks because it's so frozen and chemically. It's almost like that froyo stuff you can sometimes get. It's disgusting, but lovely with Baileys on.
I don't think that anything about Viennetta with Baileys being poured on it is is low fat. For goodness sake, Peter. It's absolute. Listen, there was 190 calories in one small slice of Viennetta, which is a 70-gram slice. I've just looked it up. Now, I don't know if I should be Googling how many calories in one whole Viennetta, because that might set up some kind of alarm with my wife. But I don't think anything about that is low calorie. And I think know that, and it's the lies I can't stand.
I think 70 grams? I'd say that's a heavier, sorry, it's not heavier, but a larger slice of Viennetta than you realize, because it's actually quite a light, fluffy, chemically snack. That's all I'm saying. It's what I think, it's what I believe, and it's what I'll be telling the doctor in 5 years.
And the worst thing about all this for me, and you should do that, make a note of it, how many Viennetta units do you consume a week, Mr. Dawson? I only eat Viennetta when I'm out with my mates. I never eat it at home.
I pick the chocolate off. Just eat the
Peter,
white chemical.
I think that you should seriously consider, if you're gonna partake in that type of stuff, just do a bit more of a high quality thing, because I feel more and more aggrieved every week that you refer to me as a basic bitch when you are sat in front of EastEnders. All right, I've made that EastEnders bit up, but you sat in front of the telly.
I watched the Christmas Day one. I watched the Boxing Day one as well. What I liked about EastEnders is that everyone's trying to kill Ian Beale, which is amusing. And the thing about EastEnders is the really ugly men always are like the spunk of the square, sort of.
Like who?
There's a guy who looks like Jimmy Somerville. He is always the one who everybody wants to have sex with, even though he's about 55 and he's balding and he's got a ginger beard.
What, Phil Mitchell?
He looks a bit like Phil Mitchell.
Is Phil Mitchell still in it?
Phil Mitchell's still in it. Sharon's still in it, inexplicably. Ian Beale is somehow connected with some other people, but everyone's trying to kill Ian Beale, and Ian Beale's this kind of like tragic comedic character, and it's all going off in the square. But they're not talking about COVID, but everyone looks quite socially distanced in the scene, so the camera angles are quite jarring, so to speak.
Who would you say is the spunk of Stakhanov?
Probably Jim, innit? I guess out of me, you and John. It's probably John, innit? Oh, okay. Well, all right. I'd go with probably Mark Haynes. He's tall, he's got a lovely beard.
Who's actually famous for being attractive.
He texted me a few minutes ago with a video that will come very clear when I explain what I got for Christmas, or rather didn't get for Christmas, Luke Moore.
Okay. And so when it comes to Christmas, I'm reading between the lines here, and we didn't cover this on our show last week, but I'm reading between the lines now and suspecting that you actually might be the basic bitch of Christmas.
I will have you know, I spent a good 10 minutes this morning pulling off all the keys of my mechanical keyboard and wiping them down because late last night, I spilt Tisky all over my keyboard, Luke, and that's your fault.
Whose fault was that? Mine?
Yeah, it's Lukey Moore's fault.
That's
Little bit of a Lukey problem in my life right now. Yeah, so I last night when I was sort of tidying up my filth after a little bit of Cyberpunk 2077, I spilt Tisky all over my...
I thought that had been withdrawn.
Furious. I think it has, yes, I believe so, yeah, but I'm playing it on the PC, so I'm falling through scenery all the time. People have mobile phones that are floating in front of me. I've not seen the Willy's Out glitch yet, but it's a bit of a mess.
So before we do anything sort of else, do you want a couple of quick Christmas stories? Because we are kind of still in Christmas period, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I've got a couple here. Mm-hmm. Both I really like, but I'll start with the one I like the most, which is a story that came out of a place. I don't actually know where it is, but it's in the UK somewhere called Streatham.
Streatham.
It might be up north. Not Streatham as in the London district. Streatham. Streatham. If you are listening from anywhere near Streatham, hello to you. But the Streatham Church nativity scene this year was rearranged to look like Mary is, quote unquote, performing an act of sin on Joseph And the comment underneath the story reads as follows. Some vulgar person has rearranged the nativity scene at Stretton Church to make it look like Mary is performing an act of sin on Joseph. By the way, everyone, it's a blowjob. By moving her nearer to him and changing the position of his shaft. Presumably, some people think this is a funny thing to do, but it's on the main crossroads in the village and is used by many families. Those who carried out the disgusting act could do well to remember that we are in the midst of a pandemic and we should all be staying at home. Visiting our village to vandalise a nativity scene is not what I would call essential travel.
Oh, so basically they're saying that some outsider with their sexy ideas came into the village and made Mary do a blowy on Joseph.
Yeah, I think it's bringing joy, isn't it? That's bringing joy if I was driving past that. That'd be a good old laugh.
That is bringing joy. And to be honest, it's not like she's going to get pregnant because it was the divine birth anyway.
Yeah.
He didn't go near her with it. So, look.
That's what I'm going to say. I mean, if she knows how to do that, it does cast a lot of aspersions on the very idea of her immaculate conception.
Exactly. I mean, if you get pregnant from that, that is immaculate, I would say.
And I should say, for those who aren't fortunate enough to see the picture I'm currently staring at, Joseph's penis does look very big. I mean, it's very large. It's probably the size of a small scaffolding pole, I would say.
It's a double pack of Pringles can, yes. Sizable, yeah. Look, maybe that's why it was a divine conception. It just would not work. Physically would not work. Joseph hung like a divine dad.
Yeah. In many ways, if Jesus was born, I mean, I'm probably going to be a bit offensive here, so apologies to those at Christmas as well. If Jesus was who he said he was, he's going to have come from a magnificent cock and balls.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah. Yeah. I don't want to talk about Jesus' dad's willy too much, but yeah, I can only imagine. It would be almost disappointing, wouldn't it? I think we've spoken about this before. It'd be really disappointing if Jesus didn't have a magnificent...
Have we spoken about this before? Or you might.
Maybe I did. Maybe we did off air. I don't know.
Anyway, moving from that delicate matter of Jesus' father's appendage to my second favourite Christmas story of the week, which actually broke on Christmas Day, which I like. So I think someone might have had this in their back pocket for a wee while, but it got published in the morning of Christmas Day. Do you know what? It was published in The Independent online. It was probably scheduled in, wasn't it? Let's be honest.
Yeah, CMS.
Schedule that stuff in. And it's that one of the biggest Catholic Christmas services in Sri Lanka, around 1,000 programs were printed, accidentally printing the words to Tupac's Hail Mary instead of the Christmas carol of the same name. So, for example, come with me, Hail Mary, run quick, see, what do we have here? I ain't a killer, but don't push me. Revenge is like the sweetest joy next to getting, blocked out so you can't see it. Peeped the weakness in the rap game and sowed it. Hail Mary, catch me if I go. Let's go deep inside the solitary mind of a madman who screams in the dark.
I'm a ghost in these killing fields.
It's similar. I mean, the solitary mind of a madman who screams in the dark isn't dissimilar.
No, I mean, it's Santa. It's almost kind of like Old Testament, isn't it? It's very good. Look, I mean, what I would say is that if you can speak English, and you do copy and paste that from an internet site. I mean, just give it a cursory glance before you just, you know, go to print, so to speak.
I'd love to know if they need a follow up story here. We need 500 words on whether they sang it or not. That's what we need. And yeah, I think I absolutely love a carol concert, and I one of the best. I mean, I might have mentioned this before, but I went to a carol concert at Southwark Cathedral a number of years ago. Because I agreed to help someone out who was doing some work for it, and it was actually amazing. It was brilliant, because it was this charity event. They leveraged all these people to lead the carols, right?
Right.
So you had the Saturdays did a song. You had who else was there? I think Hugh Grant might have been there doing a reading. It was brilliant. And it's just, and Southwark Cathedral, as I'm sure you know, Peter, is a magnificent building. Nothing wrong with the nativity scene at Southwark Cathedral, let me tell you that. tight on security there. And so I do miss a carol service generally because of these strange times we're living in. Would I enjoy it more if we did a Tupac song? I think I would, actually.
Yeah, I'd get down to it. As long as they were just careful with the N-words and the blaspheming, I reckon I would happily be sit down to sing that. I'll stand up.
So some would say that blasphemy is a victimless crime, right? Some wag would say that. But would you draw the line at blasphemy if you were in a building of God, in a house of God?
Depends on respect. What bullets those that Uzi is shooting, effectively.
Yeah. What does that mean?
If you are popping caps into Jesus' hands to attach him to the cross, so that his blood may fill us all with, I've gone down me pickled pears, me salted pears.
Do you remember when you didn't remember how Jesus died?
Yeah. Rolled away. Was it like about rolling away the stone or something? I can't really remember.
I think you might have been labouring under the misapprehension that he might have suffocated in a cave.
Wasn't he poisoned? Didn't he drink some bad milk?
We don't know. Could have been. No. We don't know, do we? But so what I'm asking you is, if you were in a house of God, would you try and not blaspheme? Is what I'm saying.
Yeah, I'd try not to do that. That's just number one. That's just wiping your feet on the carpet, not on the carpet. Yeah, no, wiping your feet on the carpet rather than wiping it on the bit next to the door that has got a little bit more fibre to it.
Yes, and how do you stand on the Larry David subject of taking one's shoes off when going into a house?
I've said this before. I will offer, but if someone makes me do it, I don't like it. Yeah, you can come into my house, muddy as hell, and just smear mud all up the walls. I don't care.
Because
I don't want to be one of those houses where I insist on people taking their shoes off. Take your shoes off. You know me. Love Japan. Love everything about it. Love the taking the shoes off kind of, the thing that they insist on. But it's just accepted that you do it. Don't ask me to do it, because that would upset me, I think.
And what do you do with the two dogs that you've got access to when they come in after a muddy walk?
I one of them almost ruined our new sofa by running all over it earlier on today, but we managed to get the mud off it. I've started sort of giving his or her little feet a little scrub on the carpet before he comes in.
You know that Jules Breach is absolutely steadfast in her in her rule about not letting little Pablo up on the sofa.
Right. Okay.
Well, he'd be crying and whining to get up.
That's so sad. Let little Pablo on the sofa, Jules Breach. Awful.
The life of Pablo. Should we take a little break, Peter? When we come back, we can do some more stories, some more madness, and maybe a couple more emails as well.
All right, then. Let's do it.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit. And he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Listen to this Acast show ad-free on Amazon Music with your Prime membership or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
This week on Stakhanov.
Over on the Luke and Pete show, we've been discussing our usual nonsense from Disney princesses to fizzy lagers and a whole load more. Here's a taster of what's been on the show.
For some reason, our little recording system has got this piece of music installed. It. I think it's incidental music in a sex ed BBC Two 10 a.m. kind of job.
No way!
It is.
It's too groovy. It's too groovy.
Yeah, it's just like now on BBC Two, sex and your child.
Meanwhile, over on WrestleMe, we've been doing the 12 days of WrestleMemus, which you can find on our Patreon or your favourite podcast player.
That's why also America is, like, leading the world in serial killers, you know, because they have room. They have room
they have
to dismantle, to dismember,
dismantle,
to stuff
yes.
to make marionettes.
Mm-hmm.
Over here, very difficult to be a serial killer.
I would knock into things. I'd get blood everywhere.
But there's always some nosy beak, isn't there? Someone sticking their nose in where it doesn't belong.
All that and more at Stakhanov.
And we are back. This is the Luke and Pete Show. If you'd like to get in touch with the Luke and Pete Show, we've been asking for your emails, and I'll tell you what, you've done quite well. Some people have resent emails they've already sent. Some people have sent us Christmas stories and stuff like that. Hello at lukeandpeteshow.com. That's hello at lukeandpeteshow.com if you'd like to get involved. Luke, have you got an email to kick us off?
I have indeed. It's a very good one, and it references me... the bombshell that I unveiled. Do you unveil a bombshell? What do you do? Detonate a bombshell, I guess.
Yeah.
I detonated a bombshell last week that I, for a short period of time, for no reason whatsoever, embarked on a journey of playing the flute at school. I think I was about 8 or 9, maybe. Yeah, about that kind of age. Anyway, on that basis, it's a belting story from Christian. Weird that he's called Christian after what we've been talking about. But anyway, that's a coincidence. He says, hi there, Luke and the Pete. Like Luke, I played the flute as a child at my mum's insistence. Did I say that my mum insisted on it? I mean, it's possible she did. She was very kind of big on making me play musical instruments. After 6 years of half-assed commitment, I scraped my grade 3 before sacking it in, says Christian. Musical maestro I was not. When I went to secondary school, I joined the local wind band. Every summer, the wind band would go on a tour to an exotic European country, bracket Spain. It was always Spain. So I was very keen to join so I could end the school year by going to the beach and water parks with my friends and having to play the odd show in some town square to geriatric Spaniards. The conductor was a flautist himself and was excited at the prospect of another male playing the flute. Sadly, I did not live up to his expectations. In my first rehearsal, I was playing second flute after giving what I believed to be a decent account of myself. I then found myself relegated to third flute by the second rehearsal, along with the other students whose contributions to the band were punctuality and not musical talent. I mean, how many flautists do they have in this damn band? Presumably three. I quickly realised that my contributions to the band were insignificant. I also realised that the only time people would have to hear me play was my tuning note at the start of each rehearsal. So, through countless rehearsals and numerous concerts, I mastered the art of pretending to play the flute. Recognizing that my silence was probably better for the band's performance, I maintained the pretense for 2 years purely so I could go on the summer tours. Looking back, it wasn't worth it. On my first tour, we were driving back from Barcelona on a coach, and our driver fell asleep at the wheel somewhere in France. He veered into a motorway barrier, waking himself and the 30 or so students and teachers up before overcorrecting the other way and slamming the rest of the coach into the same barrier. Glass shattered and a clarinet case fell onto my head with the back of the coach hanging off. Our driver was taken away by French police saying, fuck it, I was going to retire soon anyway. So, in summary, don't play the flute, and otherwise a driver from Sunderland will cause a clarinet case to hit you on the head in the middle of France. I would attach a photo of the coach's damage for proof, but it's stuck on my old Motorola Razor. Cheers, Christian.
Oh, I'm not...
but from dusk till dawn.
I'm not going to get my pension. Oh, no.
Crazy.
I'll
tell you what, though, there is something in that, though, Pete. The idea that could you, in theory, and music experts, classical music experts, will need to get in touch on this. Could you, in theory, play as, I don't know, the fourth piccolo in a massive orchestra and it never really matter, but you could be in like a really well respected, like London Philharmonic or something? I understand you'd have to do all these auditions and all this stuff to get there. But what I'm saying is, if someone like me had a rudimentary understanding of the piccolo, I don't, but if I did, could you just drop me in there? And if I didn't do anything, would anyone notice?
Yeah. Who is that prodigiously talented QPR footballer who sort of pissed up a wall?
Oh, Adel Taarabt.
Adel Taarabt. Could you like kind of get to a position and then just piss it all a wall and just not play a single note for about 3 years and nobody would really notice?
Well, you did used to get. I mean, there's a film about it called Kaiser about a particular guy in Brazil who played for it, quote unquote, played for a load of really big football teams. And I think he might have been a really good friend of Romario's. But he never actually played a game. He was always injured or unavailable, and he managed to kind of play around in other different clubs. And I think that's probably how bad he was is probably overstated, because I'm sure he would have trained and he would have had to have done a little bit. So I'm sure he would have been decent. But he never actually played, and he still managed to kind of eke out some kind of career. So this idea of bluffing your ticket is probably a lot more possible than most people give it credit. I think a lot of it is based around confidence, right? Sounds like the fucking bus driver bluffed his way.
Bluffed his way to the central reservation. When I was in orchestra, my teacher, I used to do the same thing. So I used to just mime. Like I used to mime. And my teacher moved me, instead of away from first chair, she moved me to first chair. Now, if anybody had had any kind of like...
What instrument was this?
Violin. I was terrible at it, but I would do exactly what this person's doing. I would pretend that I was playing just to get through another lesson. I wouldn't practice. I was awful at it. But what I would do is just play the long notes. And then if there was anything slightly intricate, I would mime. And so the teacher would move me towards... She moved me to first chair, I think just to keep an eye on me, to be quite frank, rather than move me further away, because I'm only going to get worse if I'm further away. So I
What song were you playing?
Oh, I don't know. What's that? Is that Tchaikovsky? That one. And a couple of others. But I just remember getting every lesson, every kind of practice, I'd turn up and at the end of my street. And, you know, I didn't have to go that far to actually do the lesson. If I'd actually applied myself, I probably would have got a bit more out of it. But
you're the opposite to me, aren't you? So I think you're probably a lot better at violin than you're making people believe, boy, your story there. But I'm someone who goes the other way. I'd say everyone, everything, and then have to worry about how I'm going to fulfill it. So for example, when I was first trying to get a job in London, when I first moved here without a job, my policy was just to answer yes to every question. Because my rationale would be, well, look, if they say to me, can you do Photoshop, right? I'll just say yes, because if they offer me the job, I'm probably going to have a month to learn it. Yeah. And I'll just learn it, right?
Yeah, damn right.
I mean, that is literally what happened at Capital Radio, and I never learned it, but they never asked me to use it. So I don't know why they asked me to do that anyway.
Yeah, so okay, so we've got you a computer with Photoshop on. Can you cut out this picture of DJ Neil Francis? And you say, yes, yeah. I'm going to go to the toilet, and then you don't come back for half a day.
Well, one of my first experiences at Capital Radio was standing outside the toilet while watching out for people coming so Johnny Vaughan could smoke in there.
Well, there you go.
And then he thanked me by taking me to the canteen and buying me a yogurt. that is a perfectly true story.
Frighteningly intense, man.
I mean, I can't prove it, so I might get busted for saying it, but it definitely happened. So the skills what I'm trying to get at is the skills you needed were different to what they said in the interview, because they're not going to say in the interview, some of our DJs are mad. Will you be all right being around them? Because they're probably not going to get away with that. So all I'm saying is the expectations are different. But I think for you, Pete, I reckon you probably were actually pretty good at the violin, because I know you quite well, but you're just underplaying it and you probably haven't got the confidence to kind of push through. I think you could probably pick it up again now, mate, and go to the very top.
Yeah, I think so. 39 is when I start my violin or viola career. I think I'm correct there. I'll probably got a cello as well.
Oh, really? When we went to Naples and we saw that soloist, were you impressed by that as someone who's got a nodding?
Wasn't it?
That was nodding wonderful. Appreciation.
And that whole kind of like auditorium just had no magnification or amplification rather, and it was just so beautifully set up. You had to almost strain to hear it. But it was just so beautiful. It kind of cut through, and there was some stuff that he was doing was just absolutely batshit, but in a wonderful way. It was very enjoyable, and I was incredibly hungover and quite sleepy. So you know, it happens.
I was going to say, because my memory of it was just you getting pissed.
Yeah, that is a weekend away with me. I'm absolutely happy with that. But unlike other people in our company, I went to go home. We got a message from Alec talking about people coming into the town for local people in Sutton or Netton or wherever the hell it was. I believe it's in East Midlands. I did a little Google.
Oh, Stretton.
Stretton, yeah. It's in East Midlands, apparently. Some people get upset that somebody had come into the village, apparently. Oh, somebody from this village would never do that sort of thing. But Alec Lodge, we were talking about weird Facebook groups about local villages and towns and stuff like that. Check out this batshit crazy post from one of the village groups I'm in. There's so much going on and the comments are crazy. I'm 100% sure it's genuine and not some weird joke. And reading it, yeah, to be honest, it doesn't sound like a weird joke. It sounds like a person who's absolutely petrified about what they've seen. A resident on the Facebook page has written, "Myself and my husband took our dogs for a walk over the farmer's field. We crossed over something road towards something church." It's been redacted for just, you know, niceness. "We were walking by the footbridge of a public walkway and there was a male cyclist in fluorescent green with a cycle engaged in a sexual act with another guy bald and wearing jeans." So, man with fluorescent green top engaging in a sexual act with another guy bald and wearing jeans. They were both middle-aged and white. Not sure if it's connected, but there was also a blue van parked outside the church. Don't bring the blue van into it. What's he done? Crying out loud. "The man in jeans ran and hid while a cyclist remained sitting on the ground." Just resting up. "As you can imagine, it was quite shocking. We had a double back to avoid them. And by the time we got home, our dog was limping." Why is the dog limping? Oh, my word.
You see what you've done to my dog?
You made my dog limp. It's so sexy.
Sexual. His legs gammy.
Yeah, it was really shocking, especially since the guy on the ground stayed there until we'd left.
What is it? What's that guy? The guy who's just sat on the ground. What's his play there? What's his tactic?
I think he's doing the same tactic as when the dinosaurs are in the kitchen in Jurassic Park.
Oh, yeah. Good idea, actually.
Their vision is based on movement. The Facebook botherers, their vision is based on...
I think that's erroneous, because it's the T-Rex whose vision is based on...
Oh, the T-Rex, right, okay, I see.
Yeah, I understand. So what he's going for there is he's going for the kind of... If I just completely refuse to engage with what's happening here, they've got no hand to play. They can't say anything.
Until the camera phones that comes out, I think it's I think it's a decent play personally. Just stay there for the rest of your life. Pretend you're a norm.
Because you were chasing after someone who stole your phone in Hampstead Heath once, weren't you?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, stole my watch. My watch.
But the thing is, sorry, so is there more to this story?
There's a little bit. I don't know why they've written this at the end. Our dogs are quite recognisable. I kept looking around worried they may turn aggressive at the thought of being caught literally with their trousers down.
Yeah. And Facebook is now really... I'm not on Facebook, but as far as I understand it, Facebook now is basically suburban residents terrified someone's going to steal their dog, suburban residents who've lost their dog, and fascist memes.
Yeah, that's pretty much that is pretty much it, to be honest.
Yeah,
the replies that sort of come out behind this Facebook page, somebody's written, "Has this been reported to the police?" Someone else has written, "Still good food." Not a clue what that means. How recognisable are these dogs? Are we talking celebrity dogs here? Where would I have seen them? Then the next one is, why would two men having sex make a dog limp?
That's the question.
Yeah, yeah. And then the final one was, you and your dog sound like disgusting homophobes.
Yeah, very nice. The TV series you can see those dogs on is a very successful long-running series called Crufts. They're what some of the main parts in it, actually. This has just reminded me of I don't really know the law around sexual acts in public. A good friend of mine is a police officer of some reasonable rank now, depressingly, because we're all getting older. And I did ask him once back in the day in the pub, and he did tell me, but I can't remember. But something that's reminded me of, there is some kind of legality around it, but I can't remember what it is.
Yeah, yeah. You can't just be bumming in the street. I mean, that is...
That's how we met.
It doesn't matter what village you're in.
This same friend, who I won't name, obviously, because he's got a proper career, he told me once that he was on a patrol on his own in the middle of the night, right?
So are these blokes.
And he's driving around... driving around in his patrol car, and he's in this like little industrial estate, and he saw a quite large man dressed essentially dressed like a, I don't know how you describe it, but like he had like high heels on, fishnets, women's underwear, makeup on, and he was just wandering around this industrial estate, right?
Yeah,
but he was just on his own, and so my friend, say again.
No fair, no foul. Is that the
same? No, exactly. But my friend got out and said, "Oh, all right." And the guy was really paranoid, obviously, and was like, "Oh, please don't arrest me. And my friend was like, "Well, I'm not going to arrest you. You're not committing a crime here. You know, you're walking around dressed like that in an industrial estate. I might ask you a couple of questions out of interest or whatever, but I'm not going to. You've not committed a crime, so don't worry about it." And the guy just walked off, like. Yeah. And I just think to myself, you must see such stuff like that.
Cool stuff.
Yeah. But then sometimes you see some horrific stuff as well, right? Where you see someone who's been killed or whatever. It's not great, is it?
No, it's not ideal, is it? No.
But anyway. But look,
if you are going to walk around in an industrial estate at night, do wear high-vis, whatever you're wearing other than that. Do wear a hard hat. It is a place of work. So just look after yourselves, all right?
Yeah, and if you're listening to the show and you are either, because we get quite like in a quite depressing way, although I'm very grateful for it. We get a lot of pilots who listen. We get a lot of lawyers who listen as well. I don't know if we've had that many policemen apart from that guy in Baltimore who used to go on stakeouts and take shits and takeaway containers and listen to our show. But if you are a police officer or a law expert, email in and tell us about the legality around what we've talked about today, because it is interesting to me and it will probably be a big weight off both of our minds, Pete, knowing that we're not committing any crimes.
Not when we're out and about, no. Good exactly. stuff. You're going to get in touch. Hello at lukeandpeteshow.com. That's how you do it.
Yeah. And what day is it today?
It's
Monday.
Monday.
We'll be back on Thursday, won't we? Yeah, we will.
Sweet.
It'll be New Year's Eve on Thursday. We can talk about all the things we've achieved this year.
Fuck all.
Well, we'll see you then. Thanks very much for listening. Stay in touch. Hello at lucapizza.com, as Peter has already said. I've been Merry Lucamus. He's been the Rabbi Peterson. We'll see you on Thursday.
Ta-ta.
This was a Stakhanov production and part of the Acast Creative Network.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This is the summer to expand your horizons. You've had enough staying home. You've had enough confinement. It's time to explore. But before you set foot out the door, set foot in the ultimate travel shoes from Allbirds, like the breathable, silky, smooth Tree Runner, the responsive foam and extra grip of the Tree Dasher, or the classic low-top look of the Tree Piper. Allbirds has a shoe ready for whatever adventures you have planned. Whether you're traveling to the ends of the earth or settling in for a staycation, you need a shoe that's versatile enough to go with any outfit, durable enough to wear over any terrain, and lightweight enough to make packing a breeze. Being made from insanely comfortable, breezy eucalyptus fiber is a plus, too. When you wear Allbirds tree shoes, you're in vacation mode before you even leave the house. They're the only shoes your suitcase needs. Boarding pass? Check. Passport? Check. The perfect travel shoe? Check. Find your perfect pair of Tree Dashers, Runners, Pipers, and more at Allbirds.com. That's Allbirds.com.